So we're on a good topic, namely God's voice, which helps us. But even God's voice we can filter and hear through many broken lenses of the past. And so we need to navigate, become quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, please constantly speak to me. We've laid a foundation. We at part number 8, we're still speaking about how does God speak to us. And we all know that we're not jumping form. We're not trying to go for a formula because there is no formula. It is about a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, as the word says in Matthew. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you actually want to hear His voice, you will hear His voice. Even if you're on a remote island and somebody did not come and give you the A to Z, you did not listen to my series, number 8-1. No, you can hear the Lord's voice because He's such a gracious, gracious God that He will speak to the hungry heart. So all we need to know is that we need to keep our hearts before Him. Keep the nonsense of the enemy out as far as we may by His grace, and then keep a hunger. So I want to ask you, do you still have a hunger to hear your Father lead you, direct you? Somebody said to me in this week that they're scared when the Lord will speak, He might ask them something difficult to do. Any of you? Yes. But the beauty of the loving, good Father that we serve, especially thank God in the New Covenant dispensation, is when He asks you to do a tough thing, guess what? He helps you to do it. It's like Frida needing netball shoes, praying about it and saying, and I'm like, buy yourself netball shoes. Will I not, as a father, by the grace of God, also give her the money to go and do that? It's as simple as that. And so if the Lord asks you something, even in the season that is tough to do, bounce it with a friend, bounce it with somebody that can pray with you and stand in faith, but He will also give you the grace to do it. Amen? He's a good God, and it's relationship, relationship, relationship. So we know there's no limit, I believe, that, or a very concise list that we can just tick the boxes of how God speaks. I believe it's limitless, but we look at the most important ones. We started off 3 weeks ago, I think, with the Word of God. I got a new Bible, praise the Yere. Like at my age, I actually start reading the Bible like this. And so I'm like, something's got to change, Lord. So He healed my eyes by giving me a fine or a bigger print. Anyway, so I'm like a kid in a candy store. Just so excited about the new Bible, so I had to show that to you. But here's the thing, is the first thing, the way God speaks to us is through His Word. He speaks through His Word. Now, we're not cessationists that we know by now. We don't believe this is the only way in which God speaks. No, that is not the truth. But it's darn important. It is very, very important that we allow the Lord to speak to us through His Word. The second one we looked at last week, and we didn't get through everything, was the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, and prayer. So in prayer, prayer is a one-way street, right? No. No. Quibus is right. Prayer is not a one-way street. It is communion with the Lord. It's communication, but communion, something deeper. And it is an exchange of life. Where we usually say, Hosanna, save us, please. And He speaks back with revelation, truth, and guiding us on the right path. And so we looked at the indwelling Spirit. We saw it first in the Old Testament, and now through the Holy Spirit in us, a soft whisper, a still small voice. Who's ever heard the still small voice? Hallelujah. Bunch of Christians. Yes, it is there for everybody. Is it there for some and not for others? No, it is there for everybody who believes and has received the Spirit of God, the indwelling Spirit of the Lord. And so we said that the soft, small voice actually shockingly sounds like your own voice, which can be a bit of a tricky one. So we need to be careful. That's why we start off with the foundation. That's why we start off with the testing measurement stick of the Word, not in a harsh way, not in a hard way, but the Spirit and truth, Word of the Lord living inside of us, then to help us reflect that when I hear my own voice, it is actually the character of God. It's actually the will of God that He says yes or no, or this is the way, walk in it. Amen? And so we need to, especially, and I've seen it this last 2 years or so, even more so, we need to be a people of the Word. And we've seen with the students in Stellenbosch that gets through varsity, gets into shofar there. Way back in the day, everybody that comes into church gets radically saved, knows about Noah and Abraham and David, and they know the stories. But these days, shockingly enough, apparently, when guys get radically saved into, and you can get saved into many churches, this is just our context, right? You hear my heart? they get saved in Stellenbosch, and they start talking about Abram and Noah and all of these guys. The guys are going like, who are they? So the foundation we thought we might have had culturally, which is not a bad thing, aren't even there these days. And so how much more need the church jump into the Word and make sure that we study the Word daily? I'm loving the New Testament. Just started a month or two ago now in 1 Corinthians, reading a chapter twice just so that I can try to understand Paul, especially in Romans, and allowing the Word to speak to me daily. And now I'm in 1 Corinthians, learning stuff again. And so please do that. So that was last week. And then I ended off, and I want to repeat this because this is so important, again, because of the age and the day we live in, is that we need to filter what we hear by the Spirit. Amen? Who's ever misinterpreted what you believe the Lord said? More than once. Yes. But there should be a safe space where we can grow in loving community, and where we grow because we are people of the Word, we're people of humility and teachability, and we've got one another. And so first, couple of filters, there might be more, but these are the ones that are important. And sorry for hammering the point, but it's not just a nice to have, it is life and death. I've said, and I've watched one or two documentaries, like 3 decades of people stuck in a sect, stuck in dead religion, stuck in weird, weird, weird stuff that is not God's character or heart, because God said. The enemy steals through deception and lies, father of lies. So that's why I'm hammering this point. It's because I love you and I love what the Lord says, but we need to hammer that and make sure, because deception is a real thing. We're not glorifying the enemy, but we're just saying, hey, he walks around like a prowling lion. And if I don't sort out my heart, I need to be careful. So first thing is word and prayer, word and prayer, word and prayer, and humility is needed. My sheep hear my voice, the voice of another they do not follow. And then we need to be on the lookout for the voice of strangers. We're in a spiritual battle constantly. It's not only on a Sunday or Wednesday, daily. Especially when you're on the phone, when you're at work. It is a spiritual battle, and we need to discern, well, what are we hearing? And it's only through intimacy with the Lord and relationship where I can trust the Spirit in me. Where I can trust. And I've learned from other people. I had to spend time with people that actually have intimate relationships with the Lord according to the Scriptures. Walk and I see the fruit of their lives. And once then, I bounce off and I test with them. And so you need to know that there's a couple of people that you can have as witnesses. God het gesê, God spoke to me. Then I test the word. In humility, say, hey brother, hey sister, pray with me. So we need witnesses. We need family and friends and leaders. I know we don't like to go there, but that is a reality. It's scriptural. That I need to trust when my leader is speaking to my life. I can ask questions. I can say, this is my interpretation. This is what I think. But ultimately, there's an anointing and a grace, and one day they will stand before God because they were responsible for me in a season. That's the beauty of God. I asked the Lord, why this thing of authority, Lord? It really makes life a bit tough. Why? And I've asked this many a times. And it just, again, I just realized, why is it authority and these things, these type of relationships so important? It's very simply because it reflects what happens in the Spirit. All of the authority has been given back to Christ. But the battle between Christ and His kingdom and that of the enemy and darkness wanting to plunder and steal, kill and destroy happens in the heavenlies. And it's all about the enemy trying his luck, coming out of his authority, coming out of the will of God. But yet Christ says, no, this is my meek and humble yet powerful and gracious way. And so that's why it's important. But it can also go wrong, and we need to check our hearts, obviously. And then lastly, when we do hear the still small voice or we hear the Lord speak to us, what is the fruit of it? What is the fruit of it? Is it haughtiness, pride, arrogance, or is it humility and peace? And so please be on the testing. Who of you guys put to test what you hear from the Lord? Who of you want to grow in putting to test? Who's ever put to test what you believe the Lord said and you really got hurt? Anybody? We had to buy a car. Like the Lord said to me, ask these 3 people, be accountable. I asked them, but then I was super spiritual. And I upped the game with the Lord. And I didn't ask those 3 people, I asked 5 people. I'm like, I'm going to be so sure. And I'll show God how sure I'll be. And then the 4th guy, I had to push him for an answer. Why? He wasn't anointed for it. He wasn't part of my church. He wasn't walking a discipleship road with me. But I thought I was now goue ster, hoofseun. I'm going to be so accountable. And then he came back and he said something that really hurt me. Like something about, yeah, anyway. Didn't go. And it really hurt me. And I went like, God, like, how can my brother hurt me? And I'm like, I didn't ask you to pray with him. I gave you people in your life around you. And I said to you, ask these three people. So, I believe it's so necessary because ultimately, what did Satan want? Satan wanted to play God. What is the thing that the flesh wants? The flesh wants to play God. How do I limit myself from stepping into that space where I become Lord in my life and I play God and I decide about everything? I keep to the Lord's will and heart. And by doing that, I humble myself and say, hey, Pietri, please pray with me. Even though I think I know, I'm like, Pietri, please pray with me. It's not a matter of the fact that Pietri, and he's a wise man. Just look at him. He's a wise man. Exactly. And even that stubble is great. I don't know. I haven't seen. I'm just joking. But the bottom line is not that he knows everything. It is my posture of humility that gives the grace of God to give me godly direction. That's it. It's as simple as that. It's the posture of my heart. And it's not about Pietri and me. It is about the Lord. So, let's move on to the next thing that we've got on our list. The way in which the Lord speaks to us. Dreams and visions. If you were wondering about this church, now is a good time to wonder even more. We're into dreams and visions. But we're into dreams and visions because it's biblical. Who's ever seen a vision of the Lord? Or of the Lord that the Lord's given you? Amen. Who would like to grow in that? Who's ever had a God-inspired dream? Who's ever had a very ungodly inspired dream? Yes, we have those as well. And we need to know what? To discern. And so we need to discern. How do we discern? Was this dream actually of God or not? Does it reflect the character of God? Can I, as I dissect through that, see Jesus still as Lord? You know, everything around this world actually goes around and one question beckons at the end of the day. Is Jesus Christ Lord? That's it. It's actually very simple. And that's in fact how you test spirit. Can you say Jesus Christ is Lord? Likewise, you can test that with your visions and dreams. We'll do that at the next stage. So, you've said, I've seen prankies. We call them prankies. It sounds a bit dodgy, but it's just a vision of the Lord where He drops something in your spirit. So the other day I woke up, I was still asleep, that kind of asleep, not knowing if you're awake, and then all of a sudden I saw this stop street sign in my spirit. It's my verbeelding, my imagination, but I know it's God inspired. And I heard the word dry links, turn left. And as I do that, spiritually speaking, I see something very clearly, like, okay, that's what the Lord, that doesn't matter what it was, but the Lord said to me, turn left, and then I see this thing. I'm like, why left? And I just left it there, went on with my life, and then a week and a half later, had an accountability with Hein for the last 20 years, and so on Monday, I sit, we quickly have breakfast, we share our hearts, we share a couple of things about ministry, and then we go sit in his car and pray. That's what we do. And so we pray, and he's just praying for me, ministering to me, and he just stops and he's like, he doesn't know why, but he just hears God saying to me, dry links, turn left. And I'm like, whoa. What is that moment? It's just God gave me a vision. I wasn't sure, is this of the Lord? And somebody that has got nothing to do with it, no idea, just confirms that the Lord, what He had showed you when you looked left, God's on that. Very childlike moment. Let's quickly look at Scripture. Joel 2:28. We go back into the Old Testament as we then come back into the New Testament to see that it's applicable today. Joel prophesied the following, and afterwards, God speaking, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. At the end of 2023, I've used this testimony before, but it's just beautiful how your daughters will prophesy. Now, Sophia's quite prophetic. She doesn't even always know it. So we were praying for Oyo's aunt, New Year's Eve. And so we went praying, and then she just came up running to me as I was standing there close to the fire pit, and she just said to me, because she knows when we go into a new year, we always seek the Lord's heart. She just comes up to me and says, Papa, Papa, ek voel God sê, hierdie jaar bow, bow, bow. And she just runs off. God, Dad, I just feel God is saying, build, build, build. Now, at that stage, long story short, we had no plans to build. In that January, the Lord gave us a buyer for our current home at that stage. We sold our property, and I think about the July or so, we signed, and they built a new house for us in Sunningdale, which we moved in at the end of that year. Had no idea. Not only that, obviously in church, the Lord was speaking, and the couple that were with us at that stage didn't know it, but they built on to their property in that particular year as well. Again, is that changing the whole world? No, but it's just God allowing us to hear His voice through what He speaks through even our daughters. I know, in fact, young men will see visions. Yuri, as I walk a discipleship road with him, has now and again course directed me and redirected me as I thought I'm going to do this, and then he just comes with a vision. He saw a bucky once, and I'm like, Yuri, that's the pizza. 2 weeks later, I had to repent. Yuri, that was actually the Lord. He just confirmed it in my heart, likewise with the place. And so allow these things to happen. Let's quickly, as we looked at Joel, let's quickly see in the new covenant, is this still applicable? Because he prophesied it. Did it happen? Yes, it did. Where was this? This was in Acts where the pouring out of the Spirit had just happened. And so let's quickly see what we should be looking like when we gather. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. What happened? So the Spirit was poured out onto all of the people that gathered together. You know this. And then they started to talk in different languages. And people walked around and say, these guys look drunk. Who's ever been at a church or a worship meeting where the people look a bit drunk? That's a good worship meeting. Within the Spirit of the Lord, of course. And so they had too much wine. No, it wasn't the case of wine. So much better. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Praise the Lord. It's quite early. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so he goes, and by the Spirit, he drags it into the New Testament, and he says, this is actually what happened. This was prophesied many years ago. And this is what happened. And guess what? It is still the status quo for us. Young men will see vision, old men will dream dreams, and vice versa, believe is possible. I've seen it. And then our daughters and our sons will prophesy. Even our maidservants, it says, will be filled with the Lord. So, dreams and visions, we need to be careful, but not fearful, because the Lord so beautifully leads us through it. So let's quickly look at the next slide. Thanks, Yaku. Dreams occurs when you're sleeping, right? Who's ever had a dream in church? Okay, great. Yes, please do have them at home. This is not a place for dreams. This is a place for visions. Dreams at home, visions at church. Okay, I'm glad we sort that out. So, you know all the examples, Joseph, Pharaoh, Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad, of Mary, all led by the Lord, guided by the Lord, even protected by the Lord through dreams. And then visions is when you just literally see through the grace of the Holy Spirit in you, thrown into your imagination, a vision that's of the Lord. And you know, this is not me. Unfortunately, demonic things can also project to you, and you need to know how to cast them down and say, this is not me. This is not God. This is not His character. This is not in line with the Word. I bind it and I say no to it. That's maybe a discussion for another day. But we're on the good side of visions at the moment. Ezekiel, Peter, and John's revelation. By the way, were we once Gentiles? Yes. Unless you're Jew and Israelite. No. Of course not. But do you know that the gospel was opened up to us through a vision? Peter got a vision. So if you want to knock visions in the modern day church and want to be careful of vision, the mere fact that the gospel, God could have done another way, I'm sure, but He didn't. He chose through a vision to Peter to eat unclean things. And he said, no, 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 I can't. He's like, if I call it clean, you eat it. And he's like, yes, Dad. And he eats it, spiritually speaking. Goes off to Cornelius' house and he's like, these are Gentiles. And he's like, oh, the vision. That's what the vision means. I can share the gospel with the Gentiles. And he shares the gospel, and even before he's done, what happens? Boom, the Spirit comes. God confirms. Through what? A vision. So please do not make light of the visions of God. Through Joseph, Israel was saved. To a big degree, through Peter's vision, we are custodians of the gospel, custodians of the good news. And so let's not make light when the Lord gives us visions and dreams. Five things I mentioned there that can help us in visions and dreams, it can give us guidance. Warnings. Man, I've had some horror warnings, but very accurate in my life through dreams. Prophecy, in other words, it's a vision that is prophetic in nature. It shows you something in the future. It shows you what the Lord wants to do. It encourages your heart. It stirs your faith. Confirmation of something, strengthening your faith and your calling, or revelation. It's showing you something new about the Lord. And through visions and dreams, that is possible. Now, what I want us just to remember through Acts and Joel is that one thing is very important. The Lord said, I will pour out my Spirit. Why is that important? Because there's lots of other noise. So if I've been filling myself up with other junk, I've been playing games, I've been on social media, I've been reading stuff, I've been meditating on a lot of junk, I need to be careful of what the visionary things are that comes up in my mind or what is reflected in my dreams. Because the ones we are talking about is scriptural, it's pure and it's sound and it's by His Spirit. We don't fear the stuff. No, but we need to test and then we need to make sure. Am I a clean conduit so that the Lord can actually give me some healthy visions? I came out of lots of junk in my life that when I closed my eyes, I would struggle to see pure things and wholesome things. And I struggled to understand the intimacy of the Lord and the love of God. So He had to refresh my mind of lots of other old junk and strongholds in my life so that I can again see pure vision and pure dreams from Him. I don't only dream those dreams and have those visions, no. But man, oh man, I'm in a much safer space. So don't knock these things, but allow the Word to cleanse you. Allow through accountability and repentance just to let go of old stuff so that we can have what is of Him. It needs to be of His Spirit. There's unfortunately other spirits as well. When you go look at the gift of discerning of spirits in 1 Corinthians 12, you see it is small letter there, the discernment of spirits. So there's the Holy Spirit, the only one for us, and then unfortunately many others. Does that make sense? Amen. So let's look, be on the lookout for those. A couple of testimonies. I've shared this before, but it was so cool. We didn't know where the Lord's going to send us when we took over this church a couple of years ago. And so we were thinking it's going to be this place or this place or this place. And the whole time in my prayer time, and I've said this before, but it was just so funny in hindsight. My mom and I lived in my high school days in Stellenberg, Durbanville, in a small complex called Sunningdale, in a townhouse complex, Sunningdale. And each time I would pray, Lord, where are you going to send us? Where are you going to send us? I saw this complex in Durbanville. I'm later thinking, I need to buy that place. Like, is this holy or what? Each time I pray, I see this. And the other thing I saw is like mist in Table Bay. I'm on a boat, mist in Table Bay, and then the mist lift, and I see Table Mountain. And you might go like, duh. So when we got the call to Table View, I'm like, wow. We ended up living in Sunningdale, and Table View is kind of self-explanatory. So the Lord was showing through visions in my prayer, this is what I'm trying to say to you. And I'm like, you're mocking like a sinny. Who's ever been there? Amen. So we need to be careful. But in hindsight, I was thankful because when we moved here, I knew, because there might have been many questions, God affirmed that through giving me visions beforehand. I remember still as a lawyer, I took over in a certain area or place where I was a young gun in law. And so I ended up in a big matter, a commercial matter, against one of the biggest hotshot lawyers in the town. But he had I believe he was duly involved in two matters that I was involved in, and I believed he had a conflict of interest. Now, if you're the small dog in town, you don't bark up the big trees. Or you do, if you're in God. Long story short, so I had a dream one night, like this beautiful vineyard, but a red snake, this aggressive red snake coming for me, like big time. I like ran like hell, and then at the end of the day, I got hold of the snake and I killed it. But it's one of those dreams where you wake up like, whew, what was that? Very aggressive. And so I didn't know it was a forewarning, but when it started to happen, immediately the Lord reminded me. And so I got a phone call where this guy just tried to tear me to pieces, saying, "Who do you think you are?" And I'm like, I just stood back in humility, saying, "I'm going to take you to the Law Society. This is clear conflict of interest. You are not doing the right thing. You need to back off from this case." Because I knew it was a spiritual fight. It's not a fight against man. It's a spiritual fight because the Lord had forewarned me in a dream. And I saw that the snake, the enemy, not the man. We need to discern between person and demon. Not the man, but the enemy's attack was taken out. And so I rested in that, even though I was quite nervous in writing these long letters and making these phone calls. I also remember in ministry, a number of years even before that, we were in a place where we kind of, anyway, the leaders in us had a bit of a struggle with something, and I think they felt a bit inferior about something, and then we just stepped back and we said, "Lord, what now?" And then the Lord clearly gave me a dream about a plane crash. And I'm like, "Oh, Lord." And then he showed me the black box and he's like, "Retrieve the black box." And I'm like, "Why?" And he's like, "This has not been my will. This has not been my will, but learn from this." And so in later years, whenever these types of situations come up, I'm like, I need to remember that moment because the Lord said to me through that dream, I need to learn from that. And so I think there's many others on visions and dreams. Anybody here that's not had visions and dreams that really want to just grow in that? Anybody want to just go like this? One or two like not. Okay, we're going to pray into that now. Let's quickly finish this up. Another way in which the Lord speaks to us over and above dreams and visions is through creation. Did you know that? He speaks to us through nature. No, we're not New Age. We're not going to hug the trees and just stay there. Because God first, He speaks through His Word, His Spirit, people, the body. We need to be very careful to think He's only going to speak to me when I'm up on a mountain. Yes, He does speak there, but you can only stay there. You need to get back down here in between the people as well. Romans 1:20 is quite intense, but it's beautiful and it's true. It's the Word of God. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. The Word says it has been clearly perceived what God has done. What is that saying? That believers and unbelievers actually see what God has done. People might say they don't, but they do. Why? Are they lying? I guess so, because the Word says they do. That's kind of an intense argument, but it's scriptural. So the Word says, we also know that the Word says that eternity is in the heart of man. So it is written in our DNA. Your factory setting says there is a God.
No.
Your factory setting says there is a God. Have been clearly perceived ever since creation of the world. In the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. That's quite intense. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is quite intense, but it's true. It's just saying, hey, nature shows there is a God. So science might say what they want, with all due respect. Nature declares there is a God. So if you're standing alone taking a selfie at Mount Everest or in Hawaii or Nizna or wherever you think it's beautiful taking a selfie, guess what? You are not alone. You're taking a photo with God. That photo, that beautiful sunset says one thing. Here I am. Here I am. I'm with you. This is not a selfie. I'm with you. Just acknowledge it in your heart. I'm here with you. That is what nature ministers to us. Living in Cape Town, we're all like, yeah, amen, we can understand that. Some people in Cairo is like thinking, really? Really? Just invite them to come and visit and see how God, He breathed and created, and that creation still speaks without words. Psalm 19, as we end off. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky, I'm not Liu Giglio, but this helps. And the sky proclaims the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. This is ministry. Nature ministers to us. We need to be careful here. But nature ministers to us. A creator made this all. Pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message. In other words, no voice, no message. No words. speaking nothing, but they have a message. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Will you stand with me? You're going to end it there. We'll continue next time. And we say, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for time together. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in many ways. But it's because of Jesus, in line with our heart's posture of hunger before you, Lord, a godly hunger. And we say, thank you, Lord, that you promised, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not you have to conjure up, you need to be all charismatic, you need to push harder, you need to focus now. No, 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 none of that. You will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. All that we have to do, like with what we see in creation, is we need to be careful not to have darkened hearts, humble ourselves and say, we want to be that people that experience your presence, that experience your spirit, that receive these downloads, that hear your voice in these expressions, and then share it with others in a godly way. That's all. We are thankful that we may be such a people. If you want the Lord just to continue to pour out His Holy Spirit over you, especially with dreams and visions, God-given dreams and visions, just raise your hand. Just say, Lord, yes, speak to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these hands just saying, Lord, speak to me in whichever way you want, but dreams and visions will be good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This with all eyes closed, just quickly, I just want to do this. If you've been attacked with dreams and visions that were ungodly and were hurt, and now you're kind of sensitive to say yes to this, just with all eyes closed, and you want the Lord just to restore that grace, just raise your hand nice and high. If it's a place where the enemy tried to distort or steal, or maybe something from your past that tries to mimic or tries to speak into this space, thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ that is enough to wash clean, to restore, and to redeem what is godly and God-given to these brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, we rebuke and refute the attack of the enemy. We see it, we acknowledge it, but we say, you're cast under the feet of Christ, whatever is demonic. We thank you for healing and restoration, for a reset, for a reset, for a reset, for a reset, for godly visions and godly dreams to these brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Lord, and even if more ministry is needed, that you will open up the doors for the right ministry, which is godly and from your heart. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we will not worship nature, but we will worship the God who is the creator of nature. But that we will not close our ears and our hearts to the message that your beautiful creation speaks. And thank you for the beautiful message that your creation speaks in Cape Town. We are especially blessed by that. We thank you for that. May we see that and keep on glorifying you, serving the Creator of all. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.